Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from. Saturday was, well, let's just be honest here, it was the worst case scenario for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The only thing that didn't go in the opposite direction that they wanted it to was the New York Islanders lost in overtime instead of winning their game. Other than that, Detroit gets a win, Washington gets a win, and so too do the Philadelphia Flyers. Not only that, a rough 7 minutes in the second period cost the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they ultimately fall in regulation to the Boston Bruins, sinking their playoff chances to a much lower 23%. They entered that day with their playoff chances up at around 44-45%, sunk into 23%, and sets up a pivotal three-day stretch here from Monday to Wednesday where they can either rise to the occasion and get some help, or they can fall and they can fall flat in the final week of the season like they did last year and miss out on the playoffs. We'll get into their playoff scenarios here to finish off the show. But before we do that, it was a host of very familiar issues that put them back on the brink. A lot of familiar issues that cost them against the Boston Bruins. And to a certain extent, it was the Boston Bruins being a very good hockey team and taking advantage of those issues that is the reason that they won that game in the Boston. But at the same time, you look at what the Penguins did on Saturday and some of the issues that cropped up. Their follow-up on goals on either side continued to be a major issue. And again, I'm not exactly sure what it is, because that's an issue that has followed this team over the last couple of seasons, which points to coaching. Anytime they score a goal, anytime they give up a goal, they seem like they just aren't able to hit that reset button right away. For some reason, they need like 2 or 3 minutes to hit the reset button. Now again, why is that important? You look at what I just said earlier. 7 minutes is all it took for the Penguins to go from a 0-0 game where they were playing pretty good defensively and they were keeping the Boston Bruins, even though giving up high danger opportunities, they were keeping them limited. Only 7 shots on goal in the first period for Boston. And what happened in those 7 minutes? They give up 4 goals and all of a sudden you look around and you're down 4-1. That is one of the biggest reasons that this Penguins team continues to struggle with consistency, is anytime there's a big momentum shift in the game, they can either keep it, which is what most teams do, or they can give that momentum away, or they can make it worse for themselves. And that's what the Penguins do. They score goals, they almost immediately give up great opportunities right after that, and half the time it ends up in the back of the net. Or they give up a goal like they did the first goal of the game on Saturday, and immediately after that they continue to let their foot off the gas and continue to let the other team just put them a little bit further behind the eight ball. And that's where the Penguins have been pretty much all season, is behind the eight ball. I said it on Friday's episode that they were sitting in a playoff spot for only the second time since November 14th. They've been chasing all season. And if you go way back to our season previews on Tip of the Iceberg, the one of the big keys to the season that I said is this team needs to get off to a hot start, which they didn't, because they can't chase the entire season, which they have. And it's because it's going to cost them. And it might. It might cost them the playoffs for a second consecutive season. You know what else could cost them the playoffs? And another familiar issue that could potentially cost them, that did cost them on Saturday? The power play. It continues to hurt them. Even when it helps them in a game, it hurts them first. And that's what we saw on Saturday night. Before their power play goal on Saturday, they were 1 for their last 22. So you look over this stretch where the Penguins went, I believe it was 9-0-3 over either 7-0-3, 8-0-3, or 9-0-3 over a certain stretch. The stretch that they've been on since March 24th to get them back into this playoff race, their power play wasn't helping them. It didn't all of a sudden turn around. 1 for their last 22, and even before they scored that power play goal to make it 4-2, they gave up a shorty right before that. Mental lapses on Erik Karlsson's part. Mental lapses just on all 5 guys on the ice. You can't, when you're outnumbering another team, let somebody that wide open, let alone the player that they did leave wide open, is one of the best goal scorers on the Boston Bruins. So the power play continues to be a major pain and a major thorn in the Penguins' side. It's something that has been an issue since, honestly, the first practice of the season, back in the preseason. You heard reports coming out from people who were watching practice saying, man, Erik Karlsson on this unit, it's not really looking good. It's taken a minute to mesh. You thought, all right, maybe in a little bit they'll get their chemistry going and it'll look much better because with this many good players, it has to work out eventually, right? Well, I guess not. The Penguins have had a rough power play all season long, and that continues to be the case as they're down to 2 games left in the season, so they need to do some serious surgery in the offseason, but for right now, it's not something that's helping them, and in fact, it's something that's actively hurting them. I mentioned they gave up that shorthanded goal. That now brings the total of shorthanded goals this season to 12. Tied for first in the NHL in shorthanded goals allowed. There's being bad on the power play, and then there's being detrimental to your team on the power play, and the Penguins are the latter. And the last one I'm going to mention here is coaching. Coaching decisions are definitely in question right now. I mean, you look at the way that Mike Sullivan has handled the goaltending situation, and sometimes it's best to keep it simple. Ride the hot hand. But when Alex Nedeljkovic has had the numbers he's had in certain games, it should bring it into question a little bit more. Not to mention the fact that Saturday, we all said it, it felt like a game that maybe Tristan Jarry should have started. Now, again, ifs and buts, you can look back on it with 2020 vision, but at the same time, in the moment, a lot of people were questioning that as well. A lot of people thought maybe this is a time that you put somebody like Tristan Jarry in between the pipes. I'm not really going to hamper on that one because, as Josh Yoey of The Athletic pointed out before the game, just look at their records in total. For some reason or other, the Penguins win more when Alex Nedeljkovic is in the net. So that one, I'm not really that upset about. The question to me is, why is Radim Zahorna in the lineup? Right? He played his way completely out of the NHL level earlier in the season. They sent him down to the AHL level, and he did what you would expect a career AHL player to do. He performed well, and he had 5 goals in his last 5 games or a 5-game point streak at the AHL level before being called up. And sure, if he gives you a spark in that game last week before Boston against Detroit, yeah, maybe that helps. Maybe that pushes you towards a playoff spot. He didn't look good against Detroit on Thursday, so I am not sure why he's back in the lineup on Saturday. It's not like he brings something to the table outside of his offense whenever he's going. He has his long reach, and that's about it. To me, I don't understand why Radim Zahorna, with the season on the line, is back in the lineup. And again, Mike Sullivan's going to say he's trying to put the best lineup out there to get the Penguins the victory. I just don't see how a guy like Radim Zahorna being in the lineup gets you any closer to a victory. I think that when you look at the totality of their play, yes, Puljujarvi's looked better than Radim Zahorna. Neither of them have looked particularly great, but yes, Puljujarvi brings some physicality. He's better on the forecheck, and he has finished a little bit more recently and a little bit more frequently than Radim Zahorna has at the NHL level this season. So again, I don't know what the reasoning is behind it. And at the end of the day, we can question coaching decisions all we want, but until he is not the head coach anymore, only one person is going to make those calls, and only one person is going to be the definitive voice on those calls, and that's Mike Sullivan. He has his assistant coaching staff, but as we've seen, Penguins don't make assistants available at all, which means Mike Sullivan is the spearhead to all the coaching decisions. He is the crown that every decision falls to. He is the, I don't want to say scapegoat, but he is the person that people look to when coaching comes into question, and I think that is certainly coming to question here over the last couple of games, as the games have gotten more important and the coaching decisions have gotten more and more questionable as time has rolled on. So with that in mind, what's left, right? The season has technically 4 days on it. There's games played on Thursday, but none in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. So everything is going to be wrapped up here in the next 3 days, including a pivotal matchup tonight for the Penguins against the Nashville Predators that is pretty much do or die, right? They could, in some miracle way, lose tonight and still have a chance going forward, but it would take everybody else losing and them staying exactly the same place in the standings points category through the night. And I just don't see that happening. But what is left for the Penguins to get into the playoffs? What is the scenario for the Penguins outside of one crazy way that everybody else loses every game and the Penguins win one? That's one way, but again, unlikely to happen that everything falls into the Penguins' favor over the next 3 days. What the Penguins need to happen is they need to win both games remaining. They need to beat Nashville tonight at home, fan appreciation night, and they need to go on to Long Island, and they need to beat the Islanders on Wednesday night. They need both Washington and Detroit to lose one of their final two games in any fashion. If that happens, Pens win both, and both Detroit and Washington lose at least one of their final two, then the Penguins clinch a playoff spot. Or the Penguins need to win both games, one of Detroit or Washington lose one game, and the Islanders lose both games in regulation. Again, there's a lot of help that needs to be done there. The Islanders need to lose their next game in regulation. You need both Detroit and Washington to lose one game, and you need to win both games. That's the second most likely, the second easiest path, but the easiest path for the Penguins is for them to win both tonight and on Wednesday, and Washington, Detroit to lose one in any fashion of their last two games. Washington has Philadelphia. Philadelphia has one game remaining. So the Flyers, if the Penguins win out, the Flyers become a non-issue. It's Washington and Detroit that need to lose. So it might come to a point where the Penguins are rooting for the Flyers over the Washington Capitals in that final game for the Flyers, but it's certainly going to be a long shot. And that's what it's been all along, a long shot. Because if you look 3 weeks ago now, the Penguins had about a 1% chance by Money Puck standards. They were losing pretty constantly. They weren't putting consistent victories up. They weren't putting consistent performances up. It's been a crazy 3 weeks, and you do have to give credit where credit is due. The Penguins have clawed their way back to even be in contention as we enter the final week of the season. But it's still a long shot. It was a long shot then. It's a long shot now. There's still a chance, though. There's still some hope. But like I mentioned, what they need to do is, one, take care of their own business. They need to win both games, and then they need a little bit of help from the outside. They need help from a lot of different ways to be able to get into the playoffs. But at the end of the day, you look at where the Penguins are at, eerily similar to where they were at last season going into the last week of the year. The only difference is last year they entered the final week with a much easier schedule, head-to-head matchups, and they entered in the driver's seat. They've had a couple opportunities. They've been in the driver's seat a couple of different times over the last couple of weeks, which is a crazy thing to think of, but right now they're not. They're a passenger. And to get back into the driver's seat, they need to take care of their own business and get a little bit of help. I'm not sure they're going to get it, but if they do, we continue this ride. If they don't, it's basically what they deserve after the first 68 games of the season. Do they deserve better than some of these other teams in the way they finished the season? Maybe. But at the end of the day, it's an 82-game season, and those games matter in the first 68. And that might be what sinks the Penguins, as they just were one or two points worse than they needed to be in the first 68 to get into the playoffs. It's going to be an interesting 3 days, not even a full week, an interesting 3 days for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll see how it all shakes out. But that's going to do it for this episode of Iceberg to Go. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this one. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.